Good morning, family. We're going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 150, and we're going to read it together. And I'm reading from English Standard Version, but just do the best you can with whatever version you have. Psalms 150. Everybody's going to read. Ready? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with a lute and harp. Praise Him with a tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounds of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, y'all can have a seat and we'll have our prayer. We're not reading this scripture by any means endorsing musical instruments in the worship service or dancing in the worship service. The thing I wanted us to notice is the joy in worshiping God and praising God. So that's the reason for this reading. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We praise you this morning for all that you've done for us, the grace and mercy that you've shown each of us in this world. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, that through his precious blood we could have life with you in the end. We, the fellow saints here at Sunrise, come together to worship you, and we ask that our worship is acceptable to you and edifying to each of us, so that we can continue our daily walk in life, helping others find Christ in their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 300. 300. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, sing of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Jesus, who's borne our sorrows, love unbounding, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, Lord, with the reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. 74. 7-4. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. He has spoken, worlds his mighty voice obeyed, laws which never shall be broken, for the guidance he hath made. Hallelujah, amen. 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 Never shall his promise fail. God hath made his saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Hallelujah, amen. 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 God of our salvation, host on high his power proclaim, heaven and earth and all creation, Lord, and magnify his name. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah, we will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. 66. 6-6. This will be our song before prayer. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk, the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this life that You have given us. And we thank You for the eternal life we have in You through Your Son, Jesus. God, we ask that what You have blessed us with, we take and we share with those who need it. As it is Your will that nobody should come to perish. God, as we go out into this world, help us to do Your good deeds and to keep our conduct honorable so that others will see Your glory. Be with us the rest of this time as we continue to worship and praise You for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear. What a privilege. pledge to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 185. 185. This will be our song for Lord's Supper. Jesus, thy name I love. All other names above. Jesus, my Lord. Oh, thou art all to me. Nothing to please I see. Nothing apart from thee, Jesus, my Lord. Thou blessed Son of God, hast bought me with thy blood, my Lord. How mighty is thy love. All other loves above, love that I daily prove, Jesus, my Lord. Soon thou wilt come again. Be happy then, Jesus, my Lord. Then thine own face I'll see, then I shall like thee be, then evermore with
thee, Jesus, my Lord. A few weeks ago, in the lesson we had, I touched on the first part of David and Goliath and the story of that. Full disclosure, I kind of zoned out, read ahead a little bit, and I realized that that account of David and Goliath wasn't exactly how I had remembered it as a kid. David was a savage. And it reminded me and kind of piqued my interest on what else had I missed. You know, from the watered down versions that we get as kids, the age appropriate versions. And every time I would hear the story of David and Goliath, I would think, oh, I know that story. 3 stones, 5 stones. He picked them up, killed Goliath, they won. So it kind of wouldn't read ahead. And got me to thinking about the story of our salvation. Jesus didn't die for our sins. He didn't die. I've seen death. We've all seen it. Had loved ones die. He didn't simply die. Jesus was murdered for our sins. And he willingly took that. That was graphic. It was gruesome. It was painful. It was drug out. There was plotting. There was backstabbing. There was payments made for it. That was more than just a simple, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus took a lot to give us hope, to give us a life after death here, to take us from our sins that we are not deserving for. I hope that drums up emotions and images and thoughts like it did for me, that when you take the word death and compare it to the word murder, there's not a comparison as far as the graphic nature of what happened to him. And he did that for each and every one of us. And I want us to focus on that and think about that as we partake the Lord's Supper. God, we come before you now and we take this bread, which represents the body of your Son that was beaten and marred and shredded and broken and hung on a cross. And help us to be mindful of the pain and the suffering that went into that to give a bunch of people who are unworthy of that sacrifice a way out. Help us to be mindful of what that means to each of us individually and to all of us as a greater family, a church family. Let us keep that in the forefront of our mind as we partake this bread, and let us take it in a way that's pleasing and somewhat worthy of that sacrifice. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Again, God, we come before you and we ask that you put our minds and our hearts at an appropriate place as we take this cup, which symbolizes the blood that was willingly shed and spilled and poured out to forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And we ask that we all be thoughtful of that on a personal level this morning. We ask these things through your Son's sacrifice. Amen. Another part of this story of the crucifixion and the death that I thought about that got, again, I use the phrase watered down. It wasn't, that's not a negative remark on all the ones who taught as I was growing up. That's more on me. But it was an age-appropriate lesson that stuck with me. But the part that I'm thinking about this morning is when he rose from the dead. You all know the process of embalming and what that entails. And I've been to funerals where it looked like I think back to my grandfather's, where it just looked like he was asleep in his chair like we'd seen him all our lives growing up. But after that whole process, days after his death, and everything that goes into the preparation of the body, there was no coming back from that. And I'm not an expert on what the process was back years and years and years ago for Jesus' body. But he came back. And I think, at least in my mind, that had been lost on me until I got to thinking about that was triggered by the story of David and Goliath and what all that means and how he beat death physically and spiritually for us as well. And that is the cornerstone of our faith. That is what gives us hope and joy, and it's good news. And it's a reason to celebrate. And I hope everyone will be mindful of that as we leave here and go on today as well. Let's pray. Lord, as we pray for the offering, give us cheerful hearts. Give us glad hearts. Let us be mindful that everything we have on this earth is of you, from you, and because of you. Let us be cheerful as we give back to spread your word and your good news to those who may not have heard it before. And let our offerings be used in a good way that will maximize the benefit of that. We thank you for everything you do for us and have done for us and will do for us. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Number four. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. To God be the glory. great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. If you mark your books to number 103, 103.
Morning, church. Whether you realize it or not, everyone, all of you, everyone you've ever known, everyone outside of here, outside of everywhere, this country, other countries from all time, everybody lives their life according to a story. That is, we receive information that supposedly comes from some time or somewhere before us. And whichever story is either the loudest or the most often repeated or strikes a chord in our heart, we accept. And we say, that's my story. That's the story that describes who I am. That's the story that describes where I come from. We all have a story. You and I, we share a Christian story. It describes where we come from, describes where we're going, describes the kind of people that we are, describes the things that we do, describes how we think and how we feel about things. And yet, you have other stories that you live. Some of us have stories of pain, that we came from someplace painful or abusive. Some of us have stories of sorrow. We come from a place of loss and heartbreak. Some of us have stories of plenty, and some of us have stories of want. But all of us, believers, non-believers, everyone lives according to a story. So we should understand, and the reason why I bring this to mind is We need to understand the power of story. We need to understand the power of story because in the end, all that we have as people are stories. Because I know if you pay attention to the news or if you, you know, just open your eyes to the stories that are being told all around you on a regular basis, we like to think that we have somehow in the year of our Lord, what is this, 2021? Is that where we're at? I get that right? Yeah. In 2021, we are so sophisticated. You know how I know? Because if I want you to believe my story, all I have to do is yell the word science. It's a story maker. My story trumps your story. Well, how do you know? Science! When I want my story to have authority, so I can say, well, the science is settled, you see. Which, again, reveals the fact that I don't think that word means what you think it means. The nature of science itself means it is not settled. We are constantly learning. Your story is being constantly written, is it not? You're drawing breath. Your story is not over. It's still being written. So, this morning I'm going to tell you a story. And I hope that this story hits your heart. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your story. We are grateful for the truth that echoes in our hearts. We are grateful that you have made room to include us in your story. We pray, Father, that as we live out your story, that we will be true to its nature. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every story has a beginning, doesn't it? It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. And I love the beginnings of stories. I don't know about you, but this week I was blessed to be able to go into a bookstore. That is a building or a room in which long shelves have these things with paper sewn together. And on that paper, you see lots of words or pictures. And I went into this marvelous place and I walked up and down a couple of the aisles. And those aisles had books about any kind of subject that you wanted to know about. And there were books on religion, there were books on sports, and there were lightweight versions of books called magazines in which you can read about music or popular people, or you could learn how to build something, you could learn how to collect something, you could learn just for the sake of learning. And there are so many stories represented in this bookstore. I got to be honest, I'm a sucker for a good bookstore. I went alone so I could spend a little time in there. But I'll go into a bookstore and I'll look at the cover art because you know the good thing about a good book, it's got to have an intriguing cover, right? The cover is the thing, or the catchy title is the thing that makes me actually physically pick it up off the shelf. And I love to go and I love to read those first couple of lines. And I'm like, all right, author, impress me. Because if your first paragraph is good, I'll buy you, and I'll give you a shot. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking, you know, Michael, you can just get those on your phone. You can. But nobody just gets their phone out and say, huh, I think I'm just going to read the first paragraph of a bunch of books. Don't do that on your phone. You go to Facebook. You read the first paragraph of what you perceive to be everyone's lives. And you either continue reading or you scroll through. So I'm going through and I'm looking at the beginning of all these stories and I'm looking for a good story. I found one. It's really good. I'm reading it this week. It's a good story. But everybody has the beginning of their story, and everybody, we as people, as a human race, as those who live here on earth, we have a beginning to our story. Now, there's different versions, are there not? I mean, you've heard a few, and I'll just play with the first couple of popular ones. Some people say, hey, our story began with nothing. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And interestingly enough, most people concede that point because there has to be a beginning, right? There has to be a beginning. And a lot of people take that story and say, okay, all that, just picture, if you will, all that nothing. And then amongst all that nothing, bang! Bang. Well, what banged? Well, nothing banged. Well, what was the result of that nothingness banging? Planets. Stars. You know what the kids say? Cool story, bro. That's the most highly accepted beginning of the story, our story, right? There was nothing, and then a big boom, and then there was everything. And then, of course, all of that everything is flying and spinning and expanding. Our story is a little different. Well, the story of the Bible is a little bit different. There's still a beginning. And in the beginning, there was nothing. And yet, something different happens. Not just an accident, not just things appearing out of nowhere, but an actor. That is, someone causing the action of the story. And back in Genesis chapter 1, where it all begins, it says, in the beginning, here's the time, God, here's our main character, created the heavens and the earth. There's the action. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So here we have what you and I believe, and in fact what you and I have put all of our faith and hope in, the beginning of our story. It begins, and there is God. And God creates. God creates the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth began in chaos. The earth began in chaos. It's dark. It's dark, and at the beginning, all you just see is just the waters. All you see is the waters, and Scripture says that the Spirit of God, His very presence, just goes and is just floating over the waters. He's just looking at what He has created, and He's just floating above it. And then He does something absolutely amazing at the beginning of this story. And this is why this story, to me, is so special. Is that having created this place, God does something so special on this first day. Now, you know, a casual reader may read, oh, of course, he's going to build something. If you're going to build a place for animals and creatures and people to live, you're going to make it to where you can see, right? So the whole light and darkness thing makes sense, does it not? And it makes sense that that would be day one. Because if you can't see where you're going, or if you can't see around you to enjoy all that has been created, what's the point? And so God says, let there be light. Now, more than just wanting you and I to not be able to walk around and just stub our toe on everything, the amazing thing about day one is that God inserts Himself into creation. That God, as light, says, I'm going to be a part of this story that I'm writing for you. Now, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. The problem is the rebellion of mankind. If you've looked around lately, you see a lot of rebellion, don't you? You see rebellion against the things that you and I believe to be natural, right? And when I say natural, I mean the things that, you know, that's just what everybody accepts as right and true. And then what we see in the world around us is there is a lot of rebellion against the normal order of things, or at least the accepted order of things. Now, most of us look at that and go, A lot of people look at it and go, yay. I don't know where you, which side you fall on. I think it's a good litmus test, because people that are railing against the natural of order things, those of us within the carefully crafted natural of order things, it makes us nervous, doesn't it? They want to shake things up. They want to change things. Well, church, our story begins with God doing what? Shaking things up. Changing things. He didn't just leave creation as this formless, watery place. He says, let there be light. He brings order to the chaos. Well, the first people that he gets around to making, they rebel. They rebel. And the serpent comes up to him and says, hey, look, Eve. Did God really say that you would die if you eat of this fruit? And Eve says, look, God made all this stuff. He gave us all this stuff. He said we can eat any of it. We just can't eat from that one tree. And the serpent says, look, God's lying to you. God is lying to you. I mean, yeah, it's his story, but as far as storytellers go, he can't be trusted very well. God knows that as soon as you eat that, you're not going to die. You're going to become like him. Intriguing. So now I can be on equal footing as the storyteller, the creator of this world. So she says, well, looks good. Seems like it'd be good food. So she eats and she shares it with Adam, and they eat. They have rebelled. God has said, this is what I have created for you, and this is how you enjoy it. And Adam and Eve found a way to go their own way and say, we just don't trust you with that, God. I mean, you made it. You put it all together. You saw that it was good. And we decided we were going to go another way. Now, all of us as children of Adam and Eve have rebelled, have we not? You've rebelled. I've rebelled. Against God, against your parents, against conventional wisdom, against the decorum of family or school or work or church. We've all been in trouble because we've all decided, I know better than what everybody else is doing. I'm going to go my own way. John chapter 3 describes what has always been going on. So let's take a look over here. In John chapter 3, we'll start in this obscure verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That right there, those two verses, that is a pretty good, shed some good light on whether most people understand God or not, right? Because I talk to a lot of people, a lot of people have these ideas that God is mean. God wants you to fail. God just can't wait for you to mess up so he can get you. Well, that's not what the story says. The story says, well, God knows your rebellion. God knows your rebellion, and he sends his Son not to condemn you. Brooks pointed out for us this morning, God didn't send Jesus to give us what we all deserve, but instead to provide a way for us to be saved from our rebellion. That is to bring us back. And so we'll continue on. In 18 it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned. Whoever doesn't believe, they're condemned already. They're condemned already. How many times have you talked to someone and said, well, I just don't know what's going on with God, that God thinks that he can just sit there and he can just decide, oh, you're going to go to heaven, oh, you're going to go to hell, and he just has such power? Well, if you remember at the beginning of the story, he's the star. He's the actor. We are all living in his story. Now, again, a lot of people in rebellion to that story say, I don't want to be a part of that story. I want to be immune from God's story. In fact, is that not what we see around us every single day? That people believe that they are immune somehow to God's story, his creation, his world, and everything in it. And so people declare themselves, I am independent. I want to be my own star of this world that I create for myself. Not realizing that they don't actually create anything for themselves. They just borrow from what is already there. But John chapter 3 says, if you don't believe in the Son of God, you're condemned already. Church, you and I do not need to go around condemning those who are lost. They're already condemned. They're already there. Ours is a rescue mission. Ours is calling people out, away from rebellion, back to verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So, this is the judgment to the world. People prefer the darkness. People prefer the darkness. Why would you prefer the darkness? I mean, with all this wonderful light that allows you to live and breathe and walk around and do what you need to do, why would you choose darkness? Why would you choose to be away from the light? So I can do what I want to do, right? Yeah, but what you want to do may be shameful. That's okay. No one else sees. I'll just do what I want to do. Just leave me alone. Let me be free to do what it is that I want to do. God is present. And people run from him because the things that we do are evil. And so God sends his Son to save us from darkness and come to his wonderful light. Now, the question comes to mind, at least for me, and you've probably wondered this, and as your heart has broken for someone else, why? Why doesn't everyone see the horror of their own sin and run to the light? Why doesn't everyone just realize the awful nature and nastiness of their own actions and say, save me from this, I want to be out of this? I mean, why don't we see that? Why don't we see people just running to the light? Have you noticed how depressed people are? Have you noticed how negative people are? I mean, beyond social media. Because social media, with the right lighting and the flick of our hair, we can make everyone think that we are happy and on top of the world. And no one is. Turn their phone off for a second and just have a conversation with them. What do you get? And careful, church, because you and I are guilty too. The smiles go away. And what do you get when you talk to people? Complaining. Negative. Darkness. This stinks. This is horrible. I hate this. This could be better. That should be fixed. We are horrible. And yet, you just hold up this little magical device and we're actors. We're all acting. Nobody around you is acting. Church, half of us are acting this morning. You know how I know? You smiled at me when I said hello. Half of you were acting. Oh, what is this show going to look like this morning? Oh, hey, Michael, how was your week? Good to see you too. Boy, I tell you what, you guys better sit down and be quiet. We're going to get out of here as fast as possible. We're acting. Look, most people are mad or sad or just plain grumpy. Why? I got to guess. We prefer the dark. Look, I got a certain amount of time, minutes or hours, that I want to be around you people, and then I want to go do my thing. I want to go do what I want to do. I want to go live my life. I mean, you may not be racing off to do anything sinful or evil, right? But we want to go do our own thing, do we not? We do. Because it's bright in the light. I mean, how am I going to complain about you or gripe about you if you're within earshot? How am I going to say something bad about you if you're this close to me? I need to leave so that I can get it off my chest. I need to go away. I need to go have a nice lunch where I can, you know, ugh. Can you believe them? Oh, I'm so tired of... We are nasty. And God says, you need my son. You need to come to the light. Church, why am I picking on us this morning? I know it feels like I'm picking on you. Why am I picking on us this morning? Because we need Jesus. Do you think it's just them that needs Jesus? Do you think because years ago I decided to follow Jesus, that I was born again, that I came to the light, that now, so many decades later, if I am not careful, that I can slip right back into the ways of this world in which I am exposed to 24/7 all the time? And I think that I can dress it up, whitewash it a little bit, and show up for an hour and a half on Sunday morning and... I might as well be holding it up. You know what I mean, right? We dress it up. We lipstick the pig. Because anybody can act good for an hour, hour and a half. But then get me out of here. Let me go do my own thing. Well, church, for us, the good news... The good news for us and for everyone else is that God sent his light into the world. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul jumps in the story. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. And he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. That's right. Because of the ministry that's been given to us by God's mercy, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't get down. Well, yeah, but no one else is doing good. I'm the only one doing good. Yeah, you remember that prophet too, don't you? I'm the only one living for you, God. Nobody else is. God says, well, actually, I have thousands, so there's that. It's just me. I'm the only one being faithful. I'm the only one raising a Christian family. I'm the only one just trying to do it right. I'm the only one you're happy with. The rest of these people are hypocrites. We don't lose hope. We don't lose hope. We're not alone. We do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We're not going to do it anymore. What's disgraceful? What's disgraceful is you and I coming together and worshiping and then griping about each other. That's disgraceful. Underhanded ways. Underhanded ways? What are we not going to do? We're not going to guilt people into coming to the light. They're already in the dark. They're already in the dark. We're not going to guilt them. And you know what we don't do? We don't talk to them and go, whoo boy, hell can't come fast enough. Really? I mean, how do you view this world that has been created in this story? When you see that those that are stumbling around in the dark, I mean, do you just follow them around with your night vision goggles, just laughing at them every time they run into a wall? I mean, isn't that how you and I act as Christians? We walk into the darkness of this world, but we don't walk in the light. We walk around with night vision goggles, laughing at them. They don't even know. They don't even know Jesus is coming back. They don't even know that they're going to burn. They don't know how awful it is. That sounds underhanded to me. It's a good thing I'm in the light. Oh, whoa, don't turn on the light. I had my night vision goggles on. That's bright. We just follow them around in the dark. We just have special glasses because we know the truth. They're going to stub their toe right there. Now, I'm not going to say anything. Shh, shh, shh. Just let them do it. Just we'll laugh at them after it happens. Does that sound like Paul? Let's be honest. Does that sound like anyone that knows Jesus? No, it doesn't. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, when it comes to this story, when it comes to this world, people are walking around in darkness. Why? Because God has an enemy. And God's enemy, that same enemy from the very beginning of the story, is going around and hiding the light from people. And he does this in many ways, right? The enemy hides the light from people so that they will not turn to Jesus in many ways. To name just a few. You really think God could love you after what you've done? You're too broken to receive healing. You're too bad to be around good. Those people aren't any better than you anyway. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Again, Paul solves that for us, and he says, look, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ. He is the light. He is the light. We're not the light. We're walking in the light. He is the light. And we fight against the work of the enemy that's trying to keep people in the dark. So, now that we have come to the light, now that you and I are in the light of this story, that you and I are near God, what do we do? Well, Chester read for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, the rest of our days, what do we do? Well, in verse 1, it said, put away evil. Put it away. Be done with it. Be done with it. Well, can I just have a little? Be done with it. Well, what if I just keep this? Be done with it. Put it all away. Church, some of you, this may come as a newsflash. If you are not working at putting away evil, I promise you it's still there. If you are not actively putting it away, it is still there. You've probably become comfortable with it and you don't want to call it evil. Well, that's just you, or that's just your personality. If you are not actively putting away evil, it is still there. Do you work on putting evil away from your life? Put away evil. That's what we do in the light. Verse 5, spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. That's what we do. That's what we do walking in the light. We offer spiritual sacrifices. We need to hear this and we need to know this. Our spiritual sacrifices are not determined by... We sang that song whenever. Or, I don't really like that song. Wait, I hope this is mentioned in that prayer. Or, is Brooks really going to talk about David and Goliath again? It's not spiritual critiquing, it's spiritual sacrifices. That's what we come to the light to offer. We give our lives and ourselves and all that we have, and we say, God, I am here for you. And I will be honest, the one critiquing I would offer, Terry read an amazing psalm this morning. I got to be honest with you. Guess what happens every time I'm happy and I hear music? I dance! It's happened every single time. I'm in a good mood and there's great music on. What? I know, it's shameful, isn't it? And he did. He was very honest and he said, we are not trying to condone a certain type of this or a certain type of that. Only problem is he read God's word first. And what did God's word say? All those things we're not trying to condone. David got in trouble for dancing before the Lord. Right? David. People are watching. That is shameful. Woman, this is my God. And they're playing my jam. I'm going to dance right in his presence, right here in the light. What will people say? Offer your spiritual sacrifices. Because you know what's better? Spiritual critique. It's easier, right? It's rigid. At least it's safe. No one can look at me and say, I'm out of line. They looked at David and said he was out of line. Except David had, all David had was a heart after God. That's all he had. We're pathetic. We are absolutely pathetic. Offer your spiritual sacrifices to God. Praise Him. Worship Him. I know you want to amen, don't you? You want to amen loud. No, we would rather praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. He's so awesome. I'm almost in a coma. We're pathetic. We are pathetic. But Michael, we said the prayer, Lord, everything we do today, we just hope it brings you glory. The heavenly hosts are crying out, holy, holy, holy. The elders are taking the crowns off their own heads and throwing them down before the throne of God. And you and I, in all of our stoicism, praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent. Hey, when your kids were little, did they ever tell you a story that just bored you? I mean, you tried really hard to sound interested, right? And some of you are fantastic actors. I've seen you. What? And then what happened? What? I was honest with my boys. You know why? Because my wife does that to me. Does this story have a point? Right? You got to get to the point. If you're going to tell a story, at least keep me awake. Are your words going to be interesting? Or, oh, I know where this is going. Right? How do you think God is receiving our spiritual sacrifice? How do you think he is? You think he's as bored as you are this morning? Hey, what happens when you get bored with the entertainment? Thank you, Anna. You change the channel. You change the channel. Well, I have a gift for you, Lord, and I want to give it to you. And I really, really want you to receive it well. I really mean that when I say it in my prayer. I want you to receive my worship well. Praise you, praise you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. When's the cake? Oh, that brings us to verse 9. Proclaim his excellencies. Proclaim his excellencies. Tell other people how awesome God is. Hey, you should come to Sunrise. Yeah, why? Because we praise him, praise him. We try to stay awake for an hour. Michael makes it hard, and I'm pretty sure I should feel guilty for the rest of the day. Proclaim his excellencies. You know what? You should come to Sunrise. Why? Because a bunch of people who were in the dark have come to the light. We have seen Jesus Christ face to face. And what that has done is caused us to search our own hearts and realize there's nothing good in and of ourselves. But he is good, and he chose us, and he made us a part of his family. And it is awesome. You wouldn't believe all the people at Sunrise that I would not know if not for Jesus. You wouldn't believe the relationships I have at Sunrise. People that I would avoid if not for Jesus. You gotta check this out. Because if nothing else, you'll stay awake. Because you never know when Michael will get uncomfortably close during the sermon. I know, uncomfortably close. I make myself uncomfortable. You should see me in the mirror in the mornings. I just, whoa! Proclaim his excellencies. Tell them how good he is. Is God good? Tell them. That's what we do with our time. And then verse 12. It's not enough that we get rid of the evil out of our lives. We do what is honorable. That means above and beyond. That means the goal of my life is not just make sure I avoid all the bad things that I'm supposed to avoid. That means my words and my actions and my love and my heart and my hands and my thoughts and everything. I do what is the best. I actually try to do what is the best. Why? So when everyone hears that I'm a Christian, they won't go, yeah, right. They'll go, oh, okay. That's what it means to honor God with your life. So that's what we do with the rest of our days. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we started it in the very first chapter of the story. I think it appropriate to finish today's time in the very last chapter of the story, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. You know, I really relate to that scripture that says, if we are out of our minds, we do it for you. If we seem to be crazy in what we're doing, it's for you. It's for you. Revelation 22:1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. That is our future. Nothing accursed. It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. We got to deal with it now. but it's not going to make it into our future. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. His servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, church, I'm just going to ask you a question. When we are worshiping God in his very presence, seeing him face to face, do you think any of us are going to be able to go, praise him, praise him? Okay, so I'm just going to let you in on just a little nugget, just a little clue. We do not walk by what? Sight, but by faith. So when you show up to worship God at sunrise this morning or any other time, you are offering your spiritual sacrifice, and you are doing so by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. My praise and sacrifice to God goes beyond Bill or whatever other of our gentlemen are standing right here. It goes beyond whether we're using a book or a screen. It goes beyond ceiling fans and chandeliers. And that is all made possible because of my faith. I want to be in the very presence of God for all eternity. And until that day when I get to be there, I am going to worship him with faith. That means I can no longer show up and praise him, tell of my ultimate boredom. I'd rather be at home or on my phone. Where do you want to be forever? With God? Then step into the light. Step into the light. Because he has made it possible by faith that we are already in his presence. It's the very first thing he does in this whole story and in all of creation. He enters in. Then he calls us all back to himself. He offers the bridge that we walk across to be close. And then he says, we get to be in his presence forever. You will not have a problem this week bigger than that story. You will not encounter an issue or another person more powerful than that story. You have been made a part of the story. You know, the problem is there's so many other stories, right? And we hear them all the time. We hear this story and we hear that story, and they're all lovely stories, aren't they? I mean, because most of them are stories of what we should hate, who we should hate, what we should fear, what we should be afraid of. I mean, come on. Everybody's using a story. You just got to know, is this God's story or is this the story of the enemy? Is this story bringing me into the light or is this story keeping me in darkness? I better recognize. I better understand. Because if it's God's story that I want to be a part of, then put away evil. Go above and beyond. Offer him spiritual sacrifices because he is here. And look, if you're wondering, well, how do I see him, Michael? How do I see him? I'll give you a guarantee how you don't see him. You don't show up wherever you are griping and complaining about your surroundings. You don't come to be a part of worship or service or anything else with the body and think negative thoughts about your brothers and sisters in Christ who have also come to the light. You don't look at those who are in the darkness as though you can't wait till they stub their toe so you can laugh at them. Those are not light activities. All that's darkness. And that's the worst part about light and dark, is when you think you're in the light, be careful that you think you stand, because you are very close to falling. That's the most insidious place to be. I'm in the light. I'm a Christian. Whatever I do is good. Huh? Really? I know a lot of Christians, and most of what we do is not good. It's time for us to come to the light. Quit playing around in the shadows. This morning, your invitation to come to the light. That's where He is. That's where we want to be. And that's where all good exists. Look, in the end, His is going to be the only story. Everybody else that's, you know, said, hey, here's a story that I think I'd like to live. Here's a story of rebellion that I choose for myself. Those stories don't end well. Ours is the story that has the good ending. So join us in our story, Walk in the Light. Let's stand together and sing.
I will live through His days with thanksgiving in my heart.
Good to be here this morning. It's good to see all these smiling faces. Good to see visitors with us. We have family members that are visiting, and we appreciate you being here with us today. Welcome you back and any opportunity you may have. We do have members who are traveling on the roads for various reasons, so we want to remember them in our prayers. For a moment there, I thought I lost my notes that I had written down earlier. And I thought, well, when I get up here, and it's going to have to be by memory, but the only one who would know what was written down would be the Lord. Because my memory's not that good. But evidently the ceiling fan blew it behind the chair, so we're glad that everyone is here. We have four young men that will be going to White River Youth Camp this week. Lance and Lane and Ethan and Wyatt. So we anticipate that they're going to have a wonderful time at the camp and share a lot of memories of things that take place at this camp. Yesterday we had a work day here at the building, which was much needed. I appreciate everybody's attendance and those of you who were able to be here and help us out. Just to let you know, those that were here, we had, first of all, we started off, Sherry made some her delicious cinnamon rolls for us, and then Josh and Jonathan, they brought kolaches later on for us to help replenish us, and then we had Mark, Tony, Ethan, Lane, Ben, Luke, Dell, William, Matt. And then we had four famous painters here that did the trim around all the building. They did a great job and put on about 2 coats of paint, and that was Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Brooks Winberg, and Terry Picasso. I may regret that, but anyway. I do appreciate those of you who were able to attend and help us out. On our prayer list, Sherry had a procedure done Thursday where she had some injections in her lower back. She is suffering some pain and uneasiness from that, and so hopefully that will take care of her problem that she had. And then we had a couple incidences yesterday here at the building. One minor, one. Anyway, we won't pray for Ben, and I'll let him explain the situation to you, but we'll pray that his pain subsides. Mom and Dad, Mom is feeling a little bit better. She had an episode this week, and her immune system broke down on her, but she says she's recovering from that. And Dad took a spill yesterday in the backyard, and so he is basically bruised up and in a lot of pain today. A friend of the family of Scotty and Terry, we want to remember Heather Nigel. Is that right? Nigel. Who was injured in a car accident and is suffering from injuries of that sort and is having a rough time recovering. So we'll remember her in our prayers. Also Becky and Rex and Janet. Janet and Robert are traveling for the procedure that she's going to go through. And it's always good to see Rex with us. And remember, Becky Vickers is also in her prayers. Are there any announcements that I left out? Gabby?
The 7-year-old little boy, Boston, that we prayed for last week, he had to go to Texas General Hospital, Texas Children's Hospital, and had to do dialysis for a couple of days and had a couple of blood transfusions, but his blood started going back to normal, and he got to come home yesterday.
Okay. Very good. William?
And our grandson Knox, that Christie's son, their baseball team won the sectional division, 9-10 11-year-old Little League, and they'll be playing in Tyler this next weekend for the East Texas State Championship. So I'll need somebody to
We'll get it covered. Anything else? Patty?
Steve, we're going to be gone for most of the next 3 weeks. We'll be here next Sunday, but after that. But we're going to be gone this week.
Okay.
And we'll be back next Sunday, and we'll be gone for the next 2 weeks.
Be safe in your travel. Anna? Thank you. Nothing else? Let's close word prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life that you bestow upon us. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Most of all, we thank you for the great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to save us upon this earth, that you sent him to teach us how we should live among others, and most of all to how we should live in accordance to your word. Father, we pray that what we've heard today we'll apply in our lives and reach out to those that do not know about your love, mercy, and grace that you have for them and for all of your children. And Father, we pray for your strength, your wisdom, your guidance in all things. Guide our footsteps that we down the path of righteousness, that we become closer to you each day. We pray that you be with the 4 young men that are attending the camp and bless their lives during this endeavor. We pray that you be with those that have been mentioned that are suffering from afflictions in their life. We pray that you take away their pain, their discomfort, and to heal their bodies, Lord, and to help them to feel comfortable. Be with those that overwatch those that are traveling away from the body and grant them safe journey to the destinations and back home. Father, what a joy it is to be a child of God. And we love you so much and thank you for all that you do for us each day.
At this time, we ask you to watch over us as we depart and keep us safe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, two other things I left out. If you notice, part of the cleanup part was the parking lot, and we have a crevice at Grand Canyon that kind of goes out here around the sidewalk and the park between the side of the parking lot. Just be careful when you step over that, okay? Because it is pretty deep. And the next thing is, if any of you need any monkey grass, if you notice, we took out all the monkey grass out here. We have a bunch of it back here in the back of the building. Some of it's in pots, some of it's not. Please, if you want monkey grass, help yourself. Okay? Thank you. You're dismissed.